Testing. Can you hear me now? How about now? Can you hear me now? Now? Can you hear me now? Testing. 1, 2, 3. Testing. 1, 2, 3.
Can't stop the feeling. Dance.
Melissa has this, you know.
Oh, no.
Good afternoon. This is a meeting of the Cambridge License Commission. Today is Wednesday, October 24th. It is 3:05 p.m. We're at the Michael J. Lombardi Building, 831 Mass Ave, Carmelia M. Vicente Conference Room, basement level in Cambridge, Massachusetts. We are here with the Police Commissioner, Bard Granville, and myself as the Chair, Nicole Murati Ferrer. The License Commission will go into executive session for the purposes of discussing litigation strategy with respect to an appeal known as Appeal of the Action of the Board of License Commissioners for suspending the Section 12 all-alcohol license of Winding Road LLC DBA Abigail's, located at 219 3rd Street, Cambridge, Mass., for 5 days. And I suggest that we go into the executive session and we'll do a roll call. So I say yes?
Yes.
Okay. 2-0. Having a quorum, we will go into executive session. We will be reconvening in this room once the executive session is done, and we will be taking no votes at the executive session. Thank you. Or no other matters at the executive session. Thank you. Okay, I move to conclude and leave the executive session. And are you in favor?
I am in favor.
Okay, so we're back on to the regular public agenda, and we will be calling first matter, which has been continued from October 3rd, Bob Basil from Local Motion of Boston for violation of Cambridge Municipal Code 8.16.060B, noise in residential areas or affecting residential property, and 8.16.060E, area noise standards. And anyone testifying, please stay standing up and raise your right hand. And do you solemnly swear to tell the truth and nothing but the truth?
You do.
Thank you. And good afternoon. Could you please state and spell your name for the record?
Sure, it's Bob Bassel, B-A-S-S-I-L-L, with Local Motion of Boston.
Thank you.
Andrew Shepherdson, S-H-E-P-A-R-D-S-O-N, Vice President for Student Affairs, Bentley University.
Thank you.
Bruce Barrows, B-A-R-R-O-W-S, Principal, Local Motion.
Thank you.
Andrea Bayer, B-O-Y-O-R, investigator for the City of Cambridge License Commission.
Thank you. And we had continued this after we heard and found a violation and issued a fine, and we continued to get more information and sort of an update. And Ms. Boyer, where are we at?
Well, this past Monday, first of all, communication was very good over the last few weeks. And we actually did a test this past Monday to check. There was some more baffling that was done to one of the buses, number 435. We were able to do readings for when it was idling and when it was accelerating. It did come down approximately about 5 to 6 decibels for each level, for idling and for acceleration, but unfortunately it was still 71 and then 75 when it went to accelerate. The gentleman also brought a secondary bus to test. So the first bus, and correct me if I'm wrong, the motor is on when you're facing the bus on the left-hand side. So, of course, when it's going into Harvard Square, it doesn't bother the residential area.
This is 435?
Yes, please.
Okay.
So when it goes into Harvard Square, it's not a violation. I mean, this is a complaint-driven system, and no one is disrupted by that. When it comes back, and because it's on the side, when it sits and idles, it's right at the home. The secondary bus and the motor and the venting system for it is in the back of the bus. So when it idling, it was less. It was 67. And when it went to accelerate, not right in front, but when it went to go away, it was 73. So it was a hard read because, of course, the noise meter, it fluctuates, but still over the 65. So when we were standing there trying to figure out, and the bus tested twice. We had to come around twice just to get an accurate test. The next thing that we had discussed was a possible changing so that it's not at that location. That house is very close to the road. Other houses on different roads in Cambridge are a little bit further off the lot line, so it would not be maybe as disruptive to other people. And that's where we left it.
If I may,
yeah.
Hand the map.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
would this be, is this a current route?
This is a proposed route that we had looked at as an alternative route that we're currently doing. This totally goes around the current complaint in off Mount Auburn Street. What this will do is bring the bus from Belmont to Aberdeen Street to Heron. Heron, and then to Concord, and then through Harvard Square over to Elliott Street. So it totally goes around that.
And there are the MBTA bus line, actually, the 72 and the 73. Take that exact
same. I'm sorry, if you could please take the conversation outside. Ms. Courtney, you're being disruptive.
The 72 and the 73 route, actually, bus line already takes that route.
The 73 pretty much does the current route. Mm-hmm. The 72 is what the route that we're proposing does. And the 72 bus is not an electric bus. Mm-hmm. It is a diesel-run bus. And in the packet, there's two pictures in the back that show the buses. I traveled the route yesterday back and forth a couple times and noticed that these buses were on those routes, and they are diesel buses. They weren't electric.
Okay. If I'm not mistaken, this route, your current route, had to be approved by traffic and parking, correct?
The current route?
Yes.
Well, the current route we took over from M&L, so I don't know if it was approved, to be honest with you.
Okay. Mr. Shepherdson, do you have any idea at all?
I do not know. I know we've been using the same route. I've been at the university for 25 years, I think, for the entire 25
okay.
years, but I don't know if it was approved.
Okay, because I think we had mentioned it at the last hearing that, that the route might actually be something that has to be approved by the Traffic and Transportation Department
okay.
of the city. So I would suggest maybe contacting them and seeing if this works. And then in terms of, I know that you guys were going to look into your fleet as well.
We did a complete evaluation of all of our fleet, and we brought the quietest bus here. And Ms.
So this is the second one that she talked about.
Ms. Boyer was kind enough to go through the testing with us twice. The results were not as hopeful as we had counted on. I have contacted the manufacturer and expressed our concerns, sent to them the decibel readings that are acceptable for the city. As yet, I have not heard back from them to offer us any suggestions at all that would help. We did all of the work ourselves to try to retrofit this bus to make it quieter. We got a reasonable reduction, but not enough to offset what we need to. So this is where we are at this particular point to try to evaluate a route.
And I'm sorry, and remind me, this route, you run two buses on this route?
Correct.
So if you were to use this proposed alternate route, would you be using the 435 and then this quieter bus? I'm sorry, what's the bus number? I don't want to keep calling
it. Oh, sorry.
Just call it.
The 619.
619. Okay. So would you be using the 435 and the 619 or the other one that you had on that route?
Well, we were trying to be frank, we would probably try to use the other one that we had on the route after we retrofitted it, but we didn't want to spend the time or the money until we understood what the results were going to yield.
Okay.
So that's where we are right now.
But if you do that, this other bus, what's the alternate bus number?
435.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so 434, 435, and 435 is the one that has had the most baffling.
Yes, ma'am.
And then the proposal, if this proposed alternate route works, 434, 435, and 436 would be the ones running that route. Yes.
Correct.
Okay. And Bentley has nothing to say on this?
No, I mean, we've been running this route for 25 years. It's really important to the university. We bring in about 1,200 people. Our faculty, staff, and students are commuting on this route. We want to be good neighbors. We're in the middle of the contract with this organization. We are will be renewing a contract or looking for a new contract. So we will, as we go out to bid and put together an RFP, we will include what we need to do. We're just hoping to get through this academic year to keep the service up and running for our community. But going forward after this year, we will have buses that will be able to meet the standard.
Okay.
So after the spring, you'll have buses that will be able to meet the standard?
We will go out and have a new contract either with Local Motion or with another provider, and we will make sure we had worked with them when we brought them on 3 years ago. Four years ago, they hired new equipment for us. So we would be doing a similar RFP, and we would specify equipment that we think would meet these criteria. So we would do that. So that would be starting for the July 1st, 2019.
And this is a not-for-hire service?
Correct.
So your students and your faculty do not pay?
Correct. The university pays.
So I think traffic might actually not have to do anything on this, but we'll double-check on that. But with that said, are the residents here on this matter?
No, but they have been CC'd on all of those cases.
Okay. So what I would suggest is continuing this to our November meeting, just to give us time to confirm with traffic and parking that this is not something that they would have to approve. And if it's not, what I would suggest is moving this to the alternate route, or proving the alternate route, provided that the 434, 435, and the 434 and the 436 receive the same type of baffling as the 435 has received to date. And with the understanding that the case is quote-unquote open, because if there is a complaint, then we'll have to bring it back in terms of the noise ordinance issues.
I concur. Is 436 actually 619 or?
No.
436, okay.
All right, so we will move this to November with no further action at this time. And with the approval of the proposed route, provided that traffic and parking doesn't have to approve it, and or that they do approve it, and then keeping the case open just in case for any follow-up issues. Okay?
That's November 7th.
All right. Thank you.
3 p.m.?
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
On to Marco Landscaping, holder of a leaf blower permit 10686 for alleged violation of Cambridge Municipal Code, operating during a prohibited period on September 13, 10:35 a.m. at 500 Huron Ave. Marco Landscaping? Second call. Application of G Street Associates, DBA Grafton Street, Wimbo Street, holder of a common victor all alcohol license for an alteration of premise to include an additional 50 square feet of outdoor seating area. Good afternoon. Could you please state and spell your names for the record?
Good afternoon, Madam Chair. For the record, James Rafferty. I'm an attorney with offices at 675 Massachusetts Avenue in Cambridge, appearing this afternoon on behalf of G Street Associates, doing business as Grafton Street. Patrick Lee, L-E-E, the manager, seated to my left.
Thank you. Now, this is for a very small area, not adjacent to your current patio because of trees?
Yes. The location, as depicted on the plan, was not the licensee's initial desired location. He wanted to be against the building face. But in working with DPW staff, they recommended an alternative location. So at the curb edge where the two tables are depicted now is the location that was approved, and we were directed there by DPW, and it's gone through the City Council approval process at that location. So it involves two tables and four seats.
And so that already received City Council
approval? Yes.
And the current patio, you're not moving, they're not asking you to move that to the curb?
No alterations on that.
Okay. And you can see these two tables from the inside?
Yes.
At all times?
Yes.
These are accordion windows that in the good weather are open,
okay,
but they're full length windows. So there's a direct line of sight from the front of the establishment. You can almost see it from the hostess stand as you come in the door, too, with those windows,
okay,
given their size.
Questions?
I don't have any questions.
Anyone in favor of this petition? Anyone in opposition to this petition? Yes, sir.
I guess you want my
yes,
sheet.
Yes, I'll take that now. Thank you.
Should I sit here or stay in the...
You can sit in either chair, that's fine. And if you could please state and spell your name for the record.
Douglas is my first name with two S's on Douglas. Last name Payne, P-A-Y-N-E.
Okay.
And address is 24 Sherman Street, Cambridge.
Okay. And what is your opposition, sir?
I think the restaurant's great. I've eaten there, but I think it's a very busy corner. There are two crosswalks that meet at that spot. They're also... yeah, depending on the season, there are tourists that the walk to the end of, they're going through Harvard Yard or Harvard Square, I should say. They come out and they're walking down the street and they tend to stop there, or at least that's my experience because I cross there occasionally, actually more than occasionally, but I see them standing at that location and I'm wondering whether they should continue walking. I think that they've got plenty of real estate presently, and I don't see any reason why they should have any more on that corner. There are also people, I've only noticed this a few times, but then again, I'm not standing there all day, but there are people that are trying to get an Uber or one of those other services, and it's a great place to stand and wait for them to show up. So there are other people that are not, that aren't moving past that area, but they're actually waiting right there for a car to show up. So as much as I like the restaurant, I'm not in favor of giving them more space on what is essentially a public sidewalk. Actually, not essentially, it is a public sidewalk. I think the city should not allow it.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep.
Councilor?
In response?
Sure.
Oh, okay. Well, I would just note that the vetting of these locations is quite thorough with DPW, and there is high priority placed on conflicts with pedestrians and existing conditions. That scrutiny occurs thoroughly at the DPW level and similarly at the City Council level, which ultimately has jurisdiction over control and use of the public way in this location. It's a practice that is encouraged in many locations in the city to activate the restaurant and street activity. So it's a rather modest impact, and we would suggest that the commission would be acting in the public interest by allowing for this modest increase of sidewalk cafe space.
And it's only four chairs, correct?
Correct. Two tables, four chairs.
Mr. Lee, anything to add?
The only thing I would add is that in that current location right now, it isn't accessible because there's two barrels there, and DPW is planning on taking those barrels out. There's also two barrels on the other end of this planter box, and we're going to ask DPW to take them out as well, and I think with those two adjustments, the accessibility of that crosswalk area is actually going to increase.
Thank you. Anyone else want to speak on this matter? Okay. With that said, I think where the location of these two tables and four chairs will be located, I don't think it will negatively impact the pedestrian traffic or the vehicular traffic to an extent that it is disruptive to the area. I think this has been a good operator with no issues in terms of service in this area, and I think, you know, generally outdoor seating is one of the amenities that everyone looks for, particularly in this area of the city. So with that, I would vote to grant.
I would vote to grant as well.
Granted. Thank,
thank
you.
You.
Thank you.
The Cheesecake Factory Restaurant at 100 Cambridge Side Place, holder of a CV all alcohol license for change of beneficial interest. So that's one. Could you please state and spell your name for the record?
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, Commissioner Andrew Upton, UPCON, for the licensee.
Thank you. And Mr. Upton, this is a reverse transaction, correct?
No.
No?
It is not, because they only have six, and you have to have over 10 for that, so each one is done individually.
Oh, okay. So do you have the DUA?
We do not have the DUA. The ABCC advised us that we didn't have to supply the DUA because we actually filed this before they made that requirement. That's
okay.
Why it's DOR only.
Okay.
And I can tell you that four of these seven have already been approved by the ABCC without it.
Okay.
Should they need it?
As long as you know that they might ask for it.
I do know.
Okay, and you're basically switching an officer and director, no real changes to the beneficial interest or the organization, correct?
Correct. No consideration, no change to any aspect of the restaurant in Cambridge.
Okay. Questions?
No questions.
Anyone in favor of this petition? Anyone in opposition to this petition? Okay. I would vote to grant.
Grant.
Granted.
Thank you.
Moving on to Greek Kitchen 3, DBA Saloniki. Holder of a common victor all alcohol license for a change of hours to close. It's midnight all days, current closing hours 10 p.m. And again, for the record?
Andrew Upton, UPTON, for the licensee.
Thank you. And I think this came up because when your clients applied for the entertainment, they realized that they thought that they had applied for midnight closing hours but didn't.
That is correct. We were initially directed to apply for 10, and somehow they determined when applying for entertainment that it should be 12. We conferred with the landlord. They would actually like it to be 12. The board did approve 12 for entertainment, so this would be just to harmonize.
Yes, and I remember I think also the Square Business Association supported the midnight. Anyone in favor of this petition? Anyone in opposition to this petition? Okay, I will vote to grant.
I will vote to grant.
Granted. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much.
Moving on to, I'll be calling matters 6 through 8 together, Legal Seafoods, 5 Bennett Street, 20 University Drive, and 355 Main Street for changes of beneficial interest.
Good afternoon. My name is Donna Cruz, and I am a paralegal at the corporate offices of Legal Seafoods.
Donna with two N's?
I'm sorry?
Donna with two N's?
Yes.
Now, this one is a reverse transaction.
Yes, correct.
Yes. Okay, so the ABCC has already reviewed this, and I believe I have a check here for you to return to you because you paid online versus physically. Thank you. All right. And there are no changes to the operation. Again, this is a just upstairs type of situation with regard to the LLC, correct?
That is correct.
Anyone in favor of these petitions? Anyone in opposition to these petitions? Okay, I would vote to grant.
Granted.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Moving on to Wheeling Brattle, DBA Beat Hotel. That's the typo on the agenda. At 13 Brattle, common victualer all alcohol license for a change of DBA to Beat Brew Hall and to amend the existing entertainment license to include a pool table. Good afternoon. Could you please state and spell your name for the record?
Jack Bardy, B-A-R-D-Y.
Thank you. And Mr. Bardy, can you tell us Beat Brew Hall? Are you changing the concept of the business as well, or?
It's essentially a restaurant. We just changed our focus, more beer-oriented. It was wine-oriented previously. Substantively, it's the same. It's more or less the same restaurant. We've shifted the menu, shifted some of the focus. But we were a beat. We're still beat. We were Brasserie before, or a brew hall now.
Okay. And I know that you gave us the location of the pool table on your diagram here. Anyone in favor of this petition? Anyone in opposition to this petition? Okay, I will vote to grant.
I will vote to grant as well.
Granted. Thank you.
Thank you.
Rains International, DBA Gyukaku Restaurants, holder of a common victor wine malt license, applied for a change of beneficial interest. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Could you please state and spell your name for the record?
Ko Lee, C-O-N-L-E-L-E.
L-E?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. And Ms. Lee, you are the?
I'm the manager.
You're the manager of record?
Yes.
Okay. And basically, the limited company is still, or the company is staying the 100% beneficial interest holder, and then you're just changing the officers and directors.
Yes,
you're
correct.
Adding one and removing two.
Correct.
Okay. And there are no other changes to the operation or anything?
No.
I also have a check to return to you because I think you're doing this in multiple cities. You
yes.
gave us a check for the city of Boston.
Yeah, we have it. Like,
they probably want
locations.
That.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Do you have the DUA or the DOR certificates?
I do not, but the lawyers should have it.
Okay, because you need both of those.
Okay.
So you need to submit those because otherwise the ABCC is going to kick this back to us.
Okay.
So we need you to have them submit. And I believe your attorney was informed about this, but we haven't received it yet. So.
Did you say DUA?
Yeah. For the industrial accidents, the Department of Industrial Accident Relief.
Okay.
And then the Department of Revenue Relief.
Okay.
We also need to, here we go. Do you know who is Jewel Saeed?
No. I have no idea.
No. Okay, no, that's not you. Just got into the wrong file. Sorry about that.
Okay.
Okay. So yeah, so for your application, the only thing that we are missing is the DUA and the DOR.
Okay.
Okay.
So just have them send it.
Yeah, so have the attorney send it to you. I mean, send it to us. And they can send it to license. If you want to write this down, there. License?
Yes.
At Cambridge?
License at Cambridge.
M-A?
M-A.
Dot G-O-V.
Dot G-O-V.
V as in Victor.
Oh, G-O-V.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Like government.
Cambridge. Okay.
With that said, are any other changes? No changes in terms of the concept or the manager of record or anything, correct?
No, everything will remain the same.
Okay. Anyone in favor of this petition? Anyone in opposition to this petition? Okay, I would vote to grant.
Grant.
Granted.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll just follow up. We'll hold this off, sending this off to the ABCC until we get that from you guys, okay?
Okay.
Thank you. Mass Ave Wine Inc., DBA Central Bottle and Provisions, 196 Mass Ave, has applied to transfer the wine and malt package store license held by Vivace Vino. Tanzila Sharman is proposed manager of record of a premise described as approximately 1,874 square feet on the ground floor in five rooms, one entrance and two exits. Oh, I should read my own notes. This was continued to November 7th after the posting of the agenda because the manager of record had some issues, couldn't appear today. Now moving on to Sarah Asfaha, due to alleged violations of General Law Chapter 138, Section 14, and 140, Section 181 for holding an unlicensed event on September 15, 2018. Second call. Now moving on to administrative matters. Epicurean Feast, 55 Wooler Street. If this is a common victualer license, has notified us that the business is closed. So board acknowledges closed and closed file and canceled license. Stephen Pridham, DBA S&D Catering, has applied for a new Hawker Peddler license. They are expected to be at the corner of Mass Ave and Main Street, 9:15 to 9:30, and then 12 to 12:30. There were some issues in terms of whether or not this person had a record. They do have a state Hawker Peddler's license that's still active and has not been suspended, and no current issues. So, vote to approve. Granted. Holiday Inn Express, holder of an inn holder license, has applied to change their existing license to add three TVs in the lobby. Granted. Attorney Dennis Quilty has requested that we reconsider our decision of September 12 of indefinitely suspending the license of Cambridge Craft DBA World of Beer, as they have complied with their legal requirements. I would actually vote to deny. I say the suspension will be lifted when the ABCC approves the changes, even though we do and we vet these applications. The ABCC does their own investigation, and under 138, the changes have to be approved by both the local board and the ABCC. So I would vote to deny, and then just say that the suspension will be lifted when the ABCC approves.
All right, okay.
Gold Transport Inc. has notified the License Commission that they intend to transfer Medallion 145 to East Western Trans. Board acknowledges. We deferred our vote on September 12 on the Beauty's Pizza for a new common victor wine and malt license. We had deferred it because we were missing the financial information from Mr. Patel and also the zoning sign-off, the BCA sign-off. We have received both of those, so at this point, and in light of our discussion on this application at the time that it was presented to us, I would vote to grant. The one thing that I would put is that if the BZA decision, even though we got the vote 5-0 given to us on the BZA, once the BZA, the written decision comes out, if there are any conditions to make the conditions part of the license.
Okay.
Also, obviously, this license can't issue until the current license is turned in, but the statement made at the hearing at that point was that the person currently having a 187 would turn in their license. April Petroni has applied for a special noise variance on November 1st through November 30th. The variance hours are actually 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. And then during the variance hours, they want the equipment and material loading with the use of boom lifts and cranes. So I would vote to grant with the condition that the variance says that during the variance hours, the equipment and material loading can only use the boom lift and the crane as needed.
Grant.
Next one is Charlie Moore on behalf of Turner Construction, also a special noise variance at 145 Broadway. This one is also linked to the next one, which is also for the same location. One is for the weekdays, the only one's for the weekends. We have received a letter from the Residence Inn, which is the direct abutter, and they support the variance because they really want the construction to end. The variance in terms of the weekdays is 6 a.m. to 7 a.m. and then 6 p.m. to 11. The one with regard to the weekends is Saturday 6 a.m. to 7 a.m. and then Sunday 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. And then on November 2nd, 6 p.m. to midnight, and then into the 3rd, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m., and then 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. So I would vote to grant both of those.
I would as well.
Sorry. And then Kyle Clayson has also applied for a special noise variance on the 27th of October. 7 a.m. would be the start time, so it's 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. at 399 Binney Street. I would vote to grant. And then we have some minutes to approve. September 12th and October 3rd. I would vote to approve both of these. Moving on to one-day applications. Shelly Neal applied for the Multicultural Arts Center. This actually came in as an entertainment license, although this location already holds an entertainment license. It's license number 10940. And the type of entertainment that they're seeking would cover the entertainment that they're asking for. I know that I sent an email, and I know that someone else in our office sent an email. We haven't received anything back. So with that said, I would deny this application because I think it's moot. I don't think they need it.
Okay.
Kristen Wagner, on behalf of the dance complex, has applied for a malt and wine license on November 17th, 18th, December 1st, 2nd, 8th, 9th, 14th, 15th, and 16th. For recitals. Vote to grant. Tyler Brown, on behalf of the Masonic Lodge, has applied for a malt and wine license for October 27th from 5 to 11 for a wedding. We have had some noise complaint issues with regard to the neighbors on the area, but it's usually for later hour type events and also events that are parties rather than wedding receptions. I do note that there was some issue in terms of a wedding there recently, but our investigator was able to get the music down so that the neighbors wouldn't be bothered. So with that said, I would vote to grant this license. Patricia Weinman for a malt with entertainment license at the Long Beach School of Music on October 26th, 27th, 28th. I would vote to grant with the condition that there must be a limited number of alcoholic drinks, and I would suggest 3 associated with the admission price. Otherwise, and thereafter, the alcohol must be sold. Andrea Campbell has applied for an entertainment license at MIT on November 11th. Granted. Emma Loeb, on behalf of WeWork, this application was actually withdrawn so by the applicant. So that's moved. Jason Alves, on behalf of the East Cambridge Business Association for a malt and wine license on October 26th from 6 to 11, would vote to grant. Shannon Canavan has applied for a Hawker Peddler license at Senate Park on November 21st from 12:30 to 2 p.m. This to sell cookies for the school. I'd actually deny this application as applied, but granted for the alternate location proposed by the DPW permit, which is at 310 Broadway.
310 Broadway, okay. Granted.
Okay. Alan Wong has applied for a Hawker Peddler license at the Sanders Theater on November 2nd from 7 to 10. I would grant with amended hours of 8 to 10 p.m. for the permission letter.
8 to 10?
Yep. Zanalia Espinola has applied for an all-alcohol with entertainment license at St. Anthony's Church on October 27th. I would vote to grant with the condition that a police detail is required. Bill Manley, on behalf of the Harvard Square Business Association, has applied for an entertainment license and also a one-day Hawker Peddler license on November 4th. To clarify on the record, the Hawker Peddler was submitted by Denise Gilson, also from the Harvard Square Business Association. I would grant both.
Granted.
Georgios Lernis has applied for an entertainment license to be exercised at MIT on October 30th. I would grant, but with the amendment that the hours are 7:30 to 9:30 per the MIT registration approval. Thank you. Roderick Huatadepo has applied for a malt with entertainment license for the Harvard Lehman Hall on November 3rd from 7 to 10. I would grant with the condition that there must be a limited number of drinks, alcoholic drinks, I would say 3, associated with the admission price, otherwise and thereafter the alcohol must be sold, and the condition that a police detail is required. Yes. Gabriel Ketch has applied for a malt and wine and entertainment license at the Harvard Courier House on October 27th. Granted with police detail required. Sahar Omer has applied for a Hawker Peddler license for 15 vendors at 59 Shepherd on October 27th from 5 to 10. Granted. Lawrence Selman has applied for a one-day auctioneer license at 15 Mooney Street on October 27th. Granted. Amelia Lamp has applied for a malt and wine with entertainment license at 27 Kirkland Street on October 26th. I would grant with the conditions that police detail is required and a limited number of alcoholic drinks, 3, be associated with the admission price, otherwise and thereafter the alcohol must be sold. Cameron Carter has applied for an entertainment license at 59 Shepherd on October 26th from 10 to 2 for a party. Granted with police detail required. Christina Cook, on behalf of the Hagerty Community School, has applied for a one-day temporary amusement license on October 31st. So they are a city entity, so the city is self-insured, which is why we didn't get the insurance, but I would vote to grant. Catherine Gladfeller from the Tobin Community School applied for a one-day amusement license at 197 Vassal on October 31st. Granted. Suhas Kaushik has applied for an entertainment license at MIT Kresge Auditorium on November 4th. Granted. Tom Gomes, on behalf of Santa Maria Nursing Home, has applied for a wine license to be exercised at their location on November 7th. I would grant with the condition that the alcohol must be sold. Sabrina Chern has applied for an entertainment license at the Quincy Dining Hall on November 3rd. I would grant with the amendment that the hours be 8:30 to 10 for the HUPD sign-off. Jeffrey Fitzgerald has applied for a wine and malt license to be exercised at the MIT Museum on November 1st. Granted. And then we have a couple of items added to the agenda for the posting. On October 19th, we have Itusa Stella on behalf of the Harvard African Studies Association applied for an entertainment license on November 3rd. I granted with the condition that a police detail is required. The next one is a special noise variance on behalf of the Walsh brothers for October 30th through March 29th at 189 Vassar Street for concrete floor slab placement. Ms. Boyer, since you're here, I do have a question in terms of the timeline of October 30th and March 29th. Do you or the other internal departments that review in terms of noise, have we gotten any noise complaints? Do you think this is going to be an issue at all, the length of it?
I do not, because it is every 7 to 10 days just for that day. So it's not every day.
Okay.
So it seems that people were on board for that.
Okay. All right. So I would grant with the condition that the work during the variance hours is only to use the concrete finishers during the time period of the variance and limited to every 7 to 10 days.
Great.
And someone apparently snuck in a few without telling me here. Emma Loeb, on behalf of WeWork, has applied for an alcohol and entertainment license. At 625 Mass Ave, let me see, on October 26th for beer and wine. I would vote to grant with the condition that the alcohol must be sold. And then the other one is a one-day temporary amusement application from the Elm Street Community School for a Halloween party on the 31st, 2 to 6, for inflatables. Granted. And with that, let me do the second call. So we're doing a second call at 4:03 p.m. for Marco Landscaping. No show, but we have the investigators here. Do either of you know on this? So please come up. Please stand up and raise your right hand. You solemnly swear to tell the truth and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you. Please state and spell your name for the record.
Tyler Bubenik, B-U-B-E-N-I-K, licensing inspector.
Okay, Mr. Bubenik, can you tell us about this complaint?
Sure. On a routine patrol for leaf blowers, September 13, 2018, 10:35 a.m., I observed a leaf blower being operated by an employee of Marco Landscaping. They don't have any history of violations with us, though I will note that 500 Huron, the address where I observed the usage, is not listed on their properties maintained.
Is not listed?
It is not listed.
Okay. But they are permitted.
They are permitted.
And they operated this during the prohibited period. Ms. Boyer, you sent the hearing notice. Did you get a bounce back at all or anything?
I did not.
Okay. So I would actually vote for a violation. And even though they have no record, their failure to show up, I would say a $300 fine.
I would agree.
Also doing a second call for Sara Asfaha, and the second call is at 4:05 p.m. No show. We didn't get a bounce back on this. And this is an individual that applied for a license. We granted the one day, but they never paid for it or got it issued. So they had this event without a license. So I would vote for a violation and to submit it to the law department for either affirmative recovery or whatever other legal recourse.
Okay.